Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Auckland, New Zealand, 1976. By the mercy of a Vaishnava. Jita Girish, who was in New Zealand when Prabhupada visited there in 1976, wrote a humble account of Prabhupada's New Zealand visit from beginning to end. The chaos, the anxieties, the aspirations of a sincere disciple experiencing Prabhupada's visit to a small temple are portrayed. I have included it here in its entirety to fill out details of Prabhupada's 1976 visit. And also I'll say to give an idea what it was like when Prabhupada visited. It's a chilly evening near the end of April. Six of us from ISKCON's Cribblehurst Road Temple are in a van speeding to the airport. As we arrive, Jamal Arjun gasps, "Oh, Prabhu, look at this. There's at least 50 of them." A crowd of North Shore devotees are gathered in the arrival lounge, some in dhotis, some with long hair, many appearing in public as devotees for the first time in a year. Yashomati Nandana Prabhu, our temple president, starts an uproarious kirtan. I feel out of place. Am I on the right team? Prabhupada suddenly appears, smiling broadly. Guru Kripa Swami is wearing an outrageous white suit and a beret. They move quickly to the car, which slowly heads off to the temple. "Hey, that's offensive. They're overtaking Prabhupada," Yasho snaps, as one by one all the devotee cars overtake Prabhupada's car and speed off to the temple. "We'd better go too, Yasho. Nobody's back at the temple that will know what to do." At the temple, a small crew of young devotees still cleaning and cooking. They haven't slept for 3 days. The place is a chaotic mess, and they're in complete anxiety. Prabhupada's coming. Our car pulls in the temple ahead of Srila Prabhupada, and everyone runs in to make sure that everything's in order. I stay on the nature strip waiting to see Prabhupada. The North Shore devotees arrive and join me on the footpath. They start playing guitars and singing a melancholy slow tune, "Nama Om Vishnu Padaya." "Are you guys mad? Prabhupada's here," I think to myself. As Prabhupada steps out of the car, I bound up and down like a puppy greeting its master at the end of the day. "Jai Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada." Srila Prabhupada turns his head towards me and smiles right at me. He likes the enthusiasm. We all start crowding around the entrance hall at the bottom of the stairs, and Prabhupada slowly ascends as the kirtan explodes with unrestrained youthful exuberance. Srila Prabhupada sits calmly in a small asan behind a desk. He has an air of complete ease. This is striking. He's taking prasad silently in such a crowded room as though this were a completely normal way to eat in front of 70 people staring at his every movement. He's regal and doesn't show even a trace of discomfort. We watch as Prabhupada pulls small pieces of puri off, deftly wraps them around some sabji and pops them gracefully into his mouth without touching his lips with his fingers. Finally, he leans his head back, opens his mouth wide, and expertly, with perfect poise, tips a stream of water from a silver cup. Swan-like perfect movements. This is not a practiced stage routine. "You are very lucky to live in such a nice country," he says. "You have enough of everything, enough land, enough grass, enough cows. Everything is freely available. There's no difficulty. We use everything in Krishna's service. Live nicely and peacefully and go back home, back to Godhead. Every living being is gradually evolving in consciousness. Even some rocks are growing. There's life there. Gradually evolving through species to the human platform. The perfection of this evolution of consciousness is to meet Krishna in Vrindavan. So nothing is lacking here in New Zealand. Everything is here. I just have one request. You please don't concoct anything." Prabhupada finishes speaking. "We brought some sweets and ghee from the cows on our farm, Prabhupada." So the Prabhupada opens a big jar of off-white rice coolers and taste ones. "Give one to everyone," he tells Harisori. "I get half a rice cooler." "So you had one?" Prabhupada asks Harisori. He shakes his head. softly and lovingly, Prabhupada says. So you take one. It's early the next morning. We've entered the Domain Park from the Grafton Road entrance and huddled on in behind Prabhupada like a group of ducklings. I'm right up close behind him as he walks past a small pond. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I chant in a neophyte way, as though the mantra were a drug to make me high. Prabhupada notices this and chuckles. We walk up to two small ponds. One has a Viking statue, a warrior on horseback, blowing a trumpet. Prabhupada, yes, your queries. Who were the Vikings? Kshatriyas? No, Prabhupada answers. Kshatriyas fought on religious principles. They were noble warriors, religious, not murderers. Then what about the modern soldiers? Do they go to the heavenly planets when they die on the battlefield? No, simply demons fighting demons for economic reasons. How can they go to heaven? They go to hell, both sides. Prabhupada walks onto a large green lawn behind the ponds. His mood is so serious, it scares me. If he speaks to me, I'll freeze. He stands, pointing his cane. What is the name of this tree? This is not a botanical knowledge test. It's a guru-disciple exchange. Will you speculate? Will you be foolish and try to impress? If anyone does, he can be almost certain to be chastised. You think? You do not know? Prabhupada stands like the commander-in-chief of an army about to launch a major offensive. We move on. The same scene is repeated. Yashomati Nandan and Tusta Krishna Swami, the leaders of the two camps, contest for Prabhupada's recognition and approval, but not many trees are named. The one thought that is reverberating in my head is, I don't deserve to be here. I'm nobody. Prabhupada is so grave and so great. His head tilted gently back as he aristocratically surveys the surroundings. Srila Prabhupada and his group walk quietly towards the grand old museum building. This is a nice building, Prabhupada remarks. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, we're going to get it for a temple. Yashomatinandana blurts. Silence follows. In here, in this glass house, there are some lotus flowers, someone says. Yes, I saw them last time, Prabhupada replies. That last time was 3 or 4 years ago, Jita says, Yaso. Prabhupada is not interested to see them again. He remembers. Our walk ends. Next, there'll be an initiation. Kalasambara, Parivada, Savaksha, Rudra Chandri, Annapurna, Advaita, and Gauravani will be initiated. We're all sitting in the temple room. Guru Kripa Swami is in a bad mood. Everything's disorganized. If you fall asleep one more time, you're not getting initiated, he snarls at Savaksha. I start to put bananas and grains on paper plates for the initiates. Not you, it should be a brahmana, he tells me. Soon I'm back in the kitchen. Down the passage comes Prabhupada's melodious even chant. Jayatam sarato pangor. Then, karshan venus vinaya gopir gopinatta sre. The chanting stops. I can't miss this. We've all been waiting so long to see these devotees get their beads. I put down the pot, slink down the passage, and peer in the door just as Advaita and Gauravani get their beads. What ecstatic names. Gauravani, one who preaches the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Zita Grace, we need more pots. Some time passes before Tusta Krishna's Swami's strained face pokes in the kitchen window. Prabhupada's sitting, waiting on the Vyasasana, and there's no Guru Puja tray. Get it together, you guys. Stop spacing out. Somehow, I frantically manifest an orgy tray from the pile of homogeneously mixed kitchenware and Didi paraphernalia and race into the temple room. Two rows of silent devotees line the sides of the Vyasasana where Prabhupada sits waiting. And at the flowers comes an order. The flowers are all on a heavy marble slab at Prabhupada's feet, and there's no basket. Prabhupada looks expectantly. I pick up the slab and carry it around, feeling quite silly. The kirtan is starting. Prabhupada nods his head and smiles, appreciating the sincere, loving service of the devotees. Then majestically, he gathers a handful of flowers in his right hand and sends a cascade streaming into the crowd of devotees who start dancing as though magically infused with life. It is the loving gesture of an exalted father blessing his tiny, inexperienced children. I'm in the kitchen with Dayasara most of the day, cooking for an afternoon feast. As it's being served out, we're called to Prabhupada's room. What is that noise downstairs? Prabhupada asks. Oh, that's the feast, Prabhupada, Dayasara replies. Feast? What feast is that? Prabhupada is surprised. Go and get Srila Prabhupada a plate of prasad right now, barks Tusta Krishna Swami. How could we be so stupid to forget Prabhupada, laments Dayasara. Later we heard Prabhupada's angry voice shouting, what rascal has done this? A devotee accidentally locked Prabhupada in the bathroom. We watch him creep up to the door, unbolt it quickly, and run off. So that's the end of one section. And there's another section that we shall soon read. Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.